This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Dear God, it is not often in the gospel when your son cries. He cries today for Jerusalem. He cries for us. When in our fear we refuse to step out and to obtain the promises that he gives to us. And so we pray, may your perfect love continue to cast out all of our fear. May we have the courage and the strength to step out so that we might be all that you would have us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Good morning. When I was growing up, there was a phrase that wreaked more fear into my heart than any other. It was this: I'll get you, my pretty, and your little dog, too. In the first chapter of Max Lucado's book, Fearless, he relates the story of the fear that he had growing up watching this movie, Wolfman. Perhaps you could relate to that, or to this particular image of the Wicked Witch from The Wizard of Oz. I remember growing up with that story, and it seemed like the movie came on this time of year, around Lent and Easter every year, and my parents would make an exception and let us stay up late to watch it. And so every year, I would position myself on the couch with my sister, Margaret, but we would always have with us, ready to go, a big blanket. And as soon as that wonderful image went onto the screen, over our heads went the blanket. We were covered over, somehow felt safe. If there is anything we learn from what Jesus has to say, from what God has to tell us throughout the Bible, is that we have been covered over. We have been protected. This is our fourth Sunday, so we're just doing the gospel today, but I encourage you to look back to the other readings appointed for today, because it's a coincidence of the Holy Spirit. As we begin our series on Fearless, the first thing that God has to say to Abram in the first reading today is, do not be afraid, I am your shield. He is our shield. If you have fear in your life, and this Lent as we go through the series is something you are willing to confront, I encourage you to let your mantra be Psalm 27, which is the psalm appointed for today. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom should I fear? The Lord is my stronghold and my help. Of whom should I be afraid? See, when we truly get to a point of understanding who Jesus is for us, there is no longer any need for fear because we are covered over, and the blanket, the shield, all that we have and all that we are will take care of us. We could see the next slide, please. This is what is called the Mappa Mundi, the map of the world. These types of maps date back to the earliest days. This particular one is from Hereford Cathedral. It's a medieval map in England. And it's very interesting because you see Christ at the top, but in the center of the world, the center of the map, is Jerusalem. If we go to the next slide, you see a little close-up. And there is Jerusalem, the center of the world. It was thought back then that Jerusalem was the center of the world because that was the place that people sought to go. Just like when we do the Seder together and we say, oh, next year in Jerusalem, if we could be there. The place where Jesus lived, The place where Jesus gave his life for us becomes that central focus, that which we seek. It is also the place where Jesus knows he will give his life. Now go back to the beginning of Luke's gospel, only a couple of weeks ago. We had Herod throwing John the Baptist into jail and ultimately beheading him. It is on that particular situation that Jesus then chooses to be baptized and go about his public ministry without fear to commit himself to do that which God has called him to do. Now fast forward it to today's gospel. The Pharisees come and they tell Jesus, Herod wants to kill you. You better get out of town. Some of them probably whispered in his other ear, remember what happened to John. Jesus responds that he will come back to Jerusalem. He is willing to do that which he is called to do. He is willing to speak, to live, and to be the truth. Tremendous power. You know, in Lucado's book this week, I hope you didn't miss the significance of that word seismos that he uses. When he's talking about that storm at sea, seismos, that seismograph, earthquakes. We've been dealing with that enough in our world these past days to appreciate what that means, the power and the strength of it. And in Matthew's gospel, it's only used three times. When Jesus shows his power over the water, the storm at sea. When Jesus dies, and there's an earthquake, and when he rises from the dead. Think of that ultimate significance. His power over storms, not only physically, but the storms of our life. His power over death and life itself. Tremendous power for us to appreciate. Jesus uses this incredible image today. Notice he doesn't call himself a rooster. He doesn't go around arrogantly strutting his stuff, look at me. But he's a mother hen. We go to the next slide. A mother hen gathering the chicks under her wing. You see the next slide, you get another image of the same kind of thing. It's kind of dark there, but that little mother hen looks pretty fat, but if you look closely down there, there's more feet than hers that are underneath, protecting her young. What an incredible image we are given. And if we have that as our protection, whom should we fear? Fran McKendry has this great poem that's on one of his CDs, and you perhaps have heard this poem, but it's about the trapeze artist. And the trapeze artist comes to that point where the artist has to let go of that initial rung of the ladder it's holding on to, he or she, and let go so that it can grab the next rung of the trapeze. There is a difficulty in letting go of that first rung. There is fear. There is fear of what it will be like to let go. Lucado makes the point that there is certainly a healthy fear, that which keeps us out of trouble, that which keeps us from harm, but there also is a very unhealthy fear, the type of fear that would paralyze us. The word fear, I'd like us to look at it today as we begin as an acronym. And an unhealthy fear, F-E-A-R, would be just this. Follow every angry rage. You can turn on the TV. You can watch the news show from morning till night. You can turn on talk radio and you can listen to it from the time you leave home to the time you reach your destination. And you hear the pundits, and if you listen to them enough, you would be afraid to drink the water out of your tap. You would be afraid to go outside the door of your house. You would hide your money under a mattress because everything is falling apart. You want to have an unhealthy fear. Keep feeding that fear by watching those shows and seeing that and watching and listening on the radio and reading the materials. Why do we do that to ourselves? There is so much angry rage, and why is it? Because there is a fear. And yet, if we feed that fear, we become nothing but fear-filled ourselves. I'd like to turn that acronym around today and suggest that this is what we really need to do. A healthy fear: find every available resource. Look for the ways that we can find courage in our lives. And it starts with listening and reading and understanding what is in these scriptures, especially the ones we hear today. Like a mother hen, he protects us, puts his very life on the line for us. Like a God of Abram, who is our shield and will make our descendants more numerous than the stars in the sky. Like Paul talks about today in the second reading, where he says, we are citizens, our citizenship is in heaven, the glory to which we are called. And so there isn't any need for fear. I'd like to go back to this little slide we had of Jerusalem with that as the center. Because Jerusalem as the center for Jesus becomes an incredible image. It becomes the symbol and image of our willingness, our courage, our strength to face that which is true. That which is true about ourselves, to be able to stand out and say, this is my fear. And I acknowledge it. And yet I am willing to move on and not let it paralyze me, because I know Jesus, my mother hen, God, my shield, will protect me. And I can get on with my life. I think I've shared with many of you that the biggest failing I know I've ever had in my life had to do with when I was in the corporate world and the upper management had messed up severely. And they decided that they would blame it all on the local people to save their own skins. And they called us all into a room and said, if you value your job, you will keep your mouth shut. I didn't speak up. Innocent people lost their jobs. People I had lived and worked with for a long time. People who had families. People who took me to their local church to experience their way of worship. People who had reputations and careers, all gone. I felt repentant for a long time. I had to face that truth about myself. And in facing that truth about myself, it has made a big difference in the way I approach my life. If being honest meant that I would lose my job, was that really a job worth keeping? And so it became important for me to be a person of radical honesty and truth. Here is Jesus. He promises he's coming back to Jerusalem. He's going to face the truth. He's going to come back to the place where prophets die. And he knows that. But he's not going to dance around it forever. He knows he is coming back. He makes that reference to Palm Sunday when he's going to come back into Jerusalem to die. But he faces that truth. And so this journey to Jerusalem, a willingness to come in there, becomes a symbol of us being willing to face the truth about me. In my most inner part. William Dowles, one of my favorite preachers, talks about this gospel and this image, and this is what he says. Going into Jerusalem is always about becoming vulnerable, about speaking and being the truth that finally sets us free. Remaining outside the city walls is a life of denial, pretense, illusion, excuses, and blaming. Not speaking the truth, standing outside Jerusalem is a life stopped and stuck with no one able to move on. Jerusalem is that part of each of our lives or place in our souls where life is stopped. And we are stuck and the relationship or dream or hope or promise cannot move on. Jerusalem is where hard work awaits each of us. Jerusalem is the walled city we circle monotonously before we find the courage or folly to move from silent safety to speaking words of truth. It may be expressions of hurt and anguish, disappointment and despair, but also can be words of intimacy and affection. Jerusalem is the next chapter of our lives. It can also be the next step in a job or career, the next move toward using the talent you have and the gift you possess and simply being the person you are. Jerusalem is the place we spend all our energy avoiding, even though it is the only place in the world that can save, heal, and renew our lives. Jerusalem is where people like us are invited to face fears and let go of the second best that barely feeds us. Jerusalem is to follow Jesus, to die, but be reborn and live again. Jerusalem is about choice. It's about staying in Galilee where you can fake it and survive and be applauded for less and die in bed. Or it's about going to Jerusalem where some part of you will die for the sake of more life. We have a mother hen to protect us. We have a God who is our shield. We have a Savior who covers over us. Let go of fear. Face the truth. And become who God enables us to be. Amen.